Today's daf is Nida daf Gimel. We left off in daf Bezim and Bez. We are in the middle of a discussion of the Shita of Shammai. Shammai had said that Kol HaNashim Dayin Shaita, and that when a woman sees dam, she has the right to assume that the dam just got there now and that it wasn't there previously, and therefore all the taros that she had touched prior to finding this dam remain tahorim, and it's only mikanu lahaba that the tumah is going to spread. So the Gemara was trying to figure out what is the svara for Shammai. My taimei de Shammai. So yesterday we only saw one answer to that question. Today we're going to see three additional answers to that question of what exactly is Shammai svara. But the svara that we saw yesterday was that the woman has a cheskas tahara. So we take the cheskas tahara and we carry that forward. That cheskas tahara, we assume, lasted up until the very last moment. So the Gemara challenged that idea that we're going to follow the cheskas tahara of the woman from two different mishnayos, from two different sources. Challenge number one was from the situation of a mikvah, where you have a mikvah shemadad v'nimtza chaser, where we don't assume that it had a cheskas, even though we know it did have a cheskas male, it did once have the full shear of arba'im sa'. Nevertheless, we don't assume that it's that everything is good with the mikvah. So the Gemara had answered, well, the case of the mikvah is different because there's tarti l'reisa in the case of the mikvah, because the item that was nitbal in the mikvah had a cheskas tumah, and there's a chazakah d'hashta on the mikvah that right now the mikvah is chaser. So the Gemara challenged from chavis. What about a mishnah that we have in regarding a barrel that you thought was wine and relied on the fact that it was wine, legabe afrashas trumos u'maisros, and now you discover that it's vinegar? Why don't we assume that you have a cheskas wine, and therefore you could assume that it was wine up until the very last moment, which we do not assume by the case of the chavis. So the Gemara says, in that case as well, it's tarti l'reisa. The reason we assume that by the chavis it was not wine up until the last moment is because you have a chazaka of something that was that's a cheskas tevel, and you have a chazaka a dahashta that right now it's vinegar. So two questions from two different mishnayos, and the same answer to both questions, that it's a case of tarti l'reisa. However, there was a difference between the way the mishnah expressed itself in regards to a mikvah being considered to be chaser l'mafreya, and the way the Mishnah expressed itself in regards to the chavis being assumed to be chometz l'mafreya, being assumed to be vinegar l'mafreya, in the following sense. When it came to the mikvah, when we said that the stuff is tamei l'mafreya, we said, the Mishnah had said, b'toras vadai, it's tamei l'mafreya. When it comes to the tevel, by the chavis, we only assumed b'toras safek, it's going to be a problem l'mafreya. So that's where we are in the Gemara. The Gemara asks, about six lines before the end of the page, on Bezim and Bez, v'rami chavis ha-mikvah. Forget about asking from chavis and mikvah independently against Shammai in our Mishnah, or against the both Hillel and Shammai in our Mishnah, but chavis and mikvah themselves are a stira one to the other. Maishna ha-chavadai, maishna ha-chasafek. Why is it that when it comes to the tumah l'mafreya that we assume, or the psul l'mafreya that we assume in the mikvah, we assume that it's a tumas vadai, we assume that the taros that were nitbal in that mikvah are tamei vadai, yet when it comes to the chavis, we only assume that it's a problem, it's a suffix problem, l'mafreya. So it's a stira between the two cases of chavis and mikvah. So says the Gemara, Am Rabbi Chanina Misura Man Tana Chavis Rabbi Shimon Hi. No, it's not a stira. It's a machlokas about how to view this tumah l'mafreya, how to view problems l'mafreya when you have a tarti l'reisa. Should we view it as a vadei problem, or should we view it as a suffix problem? The author of the Mishnah about chavis, which only viewed it as a suffix problem, must have been Rabbi Shimon, who would say the same thing by mikvah. He would say mikvah is also only a suffix problem. By a mikvah also, Rabbi Shimon would say it's only suffik tameh. The Tanan, after all, we have a Mishnah. Mikvah shenimdad v'nimtza chaser, kalataros shenasu al gabav, bein brishas ram, bein brishas yachid, tameos. That's the part we quoted yesterday, that if you have a mikvah that you measure and it turns out that it's chaser, it doesn't have the full mem sa'a, so all the taros that were toveled in that mikvah, whether it's brishas ram, whether it's brishas yachid, it doesn't make a difference, it's tameh. Why? Because it's tameh b'toras vadai. That's why it doesn't make a difference whether it's Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Hashanah. But there is a dissenting opinion. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Tahoros, Rishus HaYachitolin, that when it comes to Rishus HaRabim, since it has the status of Safek, and Halacha by Rishus Rabim is Safek Tumah, Rishus Rabim is Tahor, so therefore it's going to be Tahoros in Rishus HaRabim, and only in Rishus HaYachit it's going to be Tolin, it's going to continue to have the status of Safek Tumah in Rishus HaYachit. Rashi right away says, Taima Mefarish L'Kaman, we'll explain why we don't say, why Rabbi Shimon doesn't just say, what do you mean? Safek Tumah Rishus HaYachit is Tameh, it's not Tolin. Why doesn't he say that since it has the status of Safek, if it were in Rishus HaYachid, it should be Tameh Vadai? Okay, we'll get to that. But bottom line is, you see very clearly that Rabbi Shimon holds that it only has the status of Safek Tumah, does not have the status of Vadai Tumah. So that is the Machlokas, Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon would hold when you have a situation of Tartil Reyesa, and therefore you're going to say something is messed up, Limafreya, you're going to assume it's messed up, Vadai Limafreya, Bein B'mikva, Bein B'chavis. And Rabbi Shimon would say you'd only assume it's messed up, Safek Limafreya, Bein B'mikva, Bein B'chavis. Ushneim Lolam Dua, Elam Isota. And both Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon derive this from Sota. We know the halacha by Sota. If a man is mekane his wife, he says, I don't want you hanging out with a certain man, and then she goes and she has stira, she has yichud with that man, so we assume that she's asura labaila until she drinks the mei Sota. The only way to fully clarify it is to drink the mei Sota, and by Sota, the way it happens is in Rishos HaYachid. It's in a private place where she has yichud with that man in private, so since it's in a private place, we assume that a Safek Tumah. We don't know if anything happened. We don't know if she slept with him or not. So it's a Safek Tumah. It's not really about Tumah, but the Torah calls it Tumah when it talks about Sota. So that's why we're able to derive Safek Tumah Bereshus HaYachid is Tameh. We learn that from Sota. So Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan will derive as follows. Ki Sota, just like Sota. Ma Sota Safek Hiva Asu'ua Kevadai. Just like Sota, it's really a Safek Tumah. Yet we treat it like a Vadai Tumah. We treat it like it's a Vadai that she cheated on her husband, and she is asura labayla. So achinami safek vasua kavadai. So over here also, it's a safek tuma. Enochinami, it's only a safek because we don't know that lemafreya the mikvah was chaser. We don't know lemafreya that the wine barrel had already turned to vinegar. We don't know anything, but we have the right to treat it like a vadai problem. So that's the sheet of the rabbanon, that we have the right to treat it like a vadai problem. The cheshek shlomo in his hados in the back of the gemara points out over here, l'chara tzarech l'havin, d'mehechan yadin d'asua kevadai. How do we see any sort of limud? How do we know from Sota that we treat it like a vadai? Dilma mishum safek asra torah kishar sfeko shel torah. What do you mean? Had we not been told that there are any special rules about safek tumah per se, and we just had to treat it like any safek iser, any old safek iser, what would we assume? What do we assume by safek on a daraisa? So typically we assume safek daraisa l'chumra. So how do we know that we're treating this like a tumah vadai? Maybe we're treating it like a safek, and it's tam a safek daraisa, and safek daraisa is always l'chumra. How do we see that by sota it's necessarily being treated like a vadai? Maybe it's being treated like a regular safek daraisa l'chumra. So says the cheshek shlomo v'nira demizah raya l'shitas harambam zal. We know famous machlokas Rambam and the Rashba. Everyone agrees safek daraisa l'chumra, but is that itself a din daraisa, or is that itself only a din d'rabbanan? Do we say that mida oraisa, the Torah demands that we be machmir misafek? Or do we assume that no, mida oraisa, the Torah would have been fine with us being makel on every safek? But midrabbanan, they said that when your safek is on a din d'oraisa, you need to be machmir. But that very din is a din d'rabbanan. So the Rambam shita is that sveka d'oraisa min haTorah's lekula. That safek d'oraisa on a d'oraisa level would be lekula. It's only a safek. We only say safek d'oraisa l'chumra midrabbanan. The Torah and yet, by Sota, we find that the Torah asrs misafek. So that's how we see, that's how the Gemara sees over here, that we treat Sota like a vadai. If we were to treat Sota like a regular safek in Kala Tarukula, we would say Lakula according to the Shita Sarambam. So there's a raya to the Shita Sarambam. They use that Shita Sarambam to explain that Shita Sarambam, that Savi Daraisa L'chumra is only a din, midrabanan. So I think one of the explanation the Pnei Yeshua gives in Mesechus Gittin is that he uses uses that to explain why it is that Svek Sveka is Lekula. Because if the whole din of Savik Daraisa Luchumra is only a din Midrabanan, so when you have a Svek Sveka, a Suffik on the din of Savik Daraisa Luchumra, what do you really have? You have a Suffik on a din Drabanan. The din of Savik Daraisa Luchumra is a din Drabanan, so you have a Svek Sveka is a Suffik on the din Drabanan. So a Suffik on a din Drabanan is Lekula. But either way, that's the Rabbanan's Shita. The Rabbanan learned from Sota that just like Sota, it really is a Suffik, but yet the Torah's Machmir Ki'ilu, it's a Vadai. So in our case as well, when you have the Tarti L'Reisa cases of the Mikvah and the Chavis, it really is a Suffik, whether it should be Tamei L'Mafrei or not, but we have the right to treat it like a Vadai. So Frek the Gemara Vayter, Ime Sota, Ema ki sota, ma sota brishus ram tor, achanam brishus ram tor. Wait a second, the Rabbanon held, bein brishus ram, bein brishus yachad is tamei vadai. But if you're learning from sota, when do we say sota is treated like a vadai tamei? Only brishus yachad, but brishus rabim, we say sota is tahar. That there is no din of sota if she hung out with the guy in a public place where everyone was able to see. There's only a din of sota in brishus yachad. So how could we learn from sota that even by the case of the mikvah, by the case of the chavis, that even brishus harabim things are going to be tamei? So says Mar Hachiashta, you can't compare brishus harabim by sota to brishus harabim by regular tuma. There simply doesn't exist a case of Rishus HaRabim by Sota. It's not that Rishus HaRabim were makil in a case of Sota Rishus HaRabim. There is no such thing as Sota Rishus HaRabim. The definition of Sota is a woman who had Stira, who was in a private place with this man. Rishus HaRabim is not a private place. You don't have a Safek in Rishus HaRabim. There are a million people there. We know that she didn't cheat on her husband. Everyone saw her with this man in a public place. So hacha mishum chaserhu, mali chaser brishus ram, mali chaser brishus yachad. Over here, we're dealing with a case where something became chaser, where the mikvah lost water, and we don't know exactly when it hit that point of dipping below the full 40 sa'a. So it doesn't make a difference if it happened in Rishus Rabim or if it happened in Rishus Yachad. There's no svara to be mechalek between the two. The chitema hakol savik tuma brishus ram tar. But you might ask, but wait a second. Somehow we know from Sota that every Suffolk Tumor Brishus HaRabim is Tahar. Right? You're going to tell me, okay, now you can't derive from Sota because there's no such thing as Sota Brishus HaRabim. But yet, somehow we know that there is a rule that every Suffolk Tumor Brishus HaRabim is in fact Tahar. So why don't we apply that to our case of the mikveh as well? It's a Suffolk, meaning it's really a Suffolk. We don't know when it was Nimtzel Chaser. We know when it was Nimtzel Chaser. We don't know when it became Chaser. So in Rishus HaRabim, why don't we say Tahar? No, we don't treat it like a suffix, because the fact that you have Tarti L'Reisa makes it a Vadai Tuma. The fact that you have Tarti L'Reisa makes it that we treat it as if it's Vadai Tame, not as if it's suffix Tame. If it were suffix Tame, Enochinami, Brishus Rabim, we would say Tahar. So the Rishonim, ask a very basic question over here. The Rabbanan learned that it's like Sota. Just like Sota, it's really a suffix, we treat it like a vadai. By the case of the mikvah also, really a suffix which is treated like a vadai. Frekt all the Rishonim. Why does the Mishnah say that kol anashim dayan shaitan l'chulin, and even l'kachim, it's a suffix tuma? Why is this any different than any suffix tuma b'rishus hayachid, which is tamei vadai, because we learn it out from Sota, and we don't establish a cheskas tara? Meaning, why is it that when it comes to the woman, we're going to say daya shaita, we're going to establish cheskas tara? Our entire focus has shifted away from the case of nida, away from the case of the woman, and now we've just been focused on the case of the mikvah and the case of a chavis. But let's go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah dealt with a case where it wasn't tarti l'reisa. Okay, granted, it wasn't tarti l'reisa. It's just a regular case. A woman had a cheskas tara, and now she's a chazaka d'ashta that she's tamei. So isn't that really, doesn't that make every moment of time in between when we know she was last tahora and now that we know she's tamea, it's a suffix. It's just a suffix. So why do we assume that she's becheskas tara? Meaning, why is it that that when it comes to that the Mishnah says that kol hanashim dayin shaitan, that she's only that she's tahora or at most suffik tamea. Why is this any different than any other suffik to Rambam Shlosh Seyachid, where we would assume tamei vaday, where we would learn from sota? So Tosfos mitarets that we don't learn from sota to be metamei lemafreya. At the time that she touched the taros, there was no leidas hasafik yet. There was no reason to be mesupak that maybe she's tamea. So Tosfos derives what appears from Tosfos is that we don't learn from sota to be metamei a suffik nida Rambam Shlosh Seyachid, because you can't learn from sota to be metamei lemafreya. And during a zman where there was no reason to have any sveikos, meaning there's the din of suffik tum Rosh Hashiachid does not have the koach to be mechadesh tum of adais on a zman that it wasn't even roi for a suffik that maybe she's tame or not. Only a zman where there's a sibali histapik, where there's a reason to have a suffik in our mind, that's where we're mechadesh the din of suffik kevadai. When does the Torah tell us suffik tum of Rosh Hashiachid is tame? When there's a reason to assume that there's a suffik already at that time. But over here, by the case of the Nida, she was dealing with Taras all day long. Now, at the end of the day, she finds that she's Tameya. Was there any reason while she was dealing with Taras to have a Leidas HaSafik to even think that she's Tameya? No, there were no warning signs whatsoever. She didn't have any Argasha, she didn't see any Dam, there was nothing to make her assume that way. From Sota, we only see when there is reason to assume a suffik. She already had Kino Yastira, now she's alone with the man. That's where we're going to say suffik tuma is tame. Tosfos also says that we only learn from Sota tumas maga, not tumas re'ia. The suffik has to be similar to the suffik of Sota, which is a suffik maga, suffik of touching, of tuma touching something else, not a suffik of a tuma yotze lov megufo. So it's an entirely different kind of tuma. That's a bit of a difficult answer to understand, because by Sota, again, it's not really tuma. So what, we're going to call that tumas maga because by touching the man and by having beer with the man, she becomes asur? It's not even really tuma. If anything, tuma yotzelav megufa is more similar to tumas maga than sota is similar to tumas maga. So a very difficult answer to understand. The Ran is mitarets that it has to be similar to sota in the sense that the suffik is nolad in the isha, that she's mekabelas the tuma. Whereas over here, the case of Anida, the suffix is nolad in the isha, not she's mekabelas the tuma, she is no senes hatuma. She gives off the tuma. She's not the one that's receiving tuma from some other source. Adarabba, a woman becomes the Nida, she is the source of the tuma, and in that way it's dissimilar to Sota, and that's why we cannot learn Nida from Sota. Tosos Rid is Mitaret, that a regular Suffolk Tuma has a shame Vadai Tuma, but it's Suffolk Naga, Suffolk Lo Naga, meaning by a regular Suffolk Tuma, there's definitely something Tame. We're just not sure if you touched it or didn't touch it. But over here, the Iker HaTuma is B'Suffolk. So the way he understands it is, Suffolk Tuma versus Yachid is only said when you know for sure that something there was Tame, and the Suffolk is, did you come in contact with it or did you not? Just like by a sota, where there's definitely tumas vadai, because the boel went with her into a private place, which is a vadai problem. It's a vadai iser and it's a vadai bad thing. It's only a suffik whether he touched her or not. But by a nida, where there's a suffik whether there even is tuma, we don't even know if she bled at all or not. So then we wouldn't say suffik vadai in that situation. Okay, many other terutzim in the Rishonim. We're going to run out of time if we go through all of them. There are 7 or 8 or 9 or so terutzim in the Rishonim to this kasha. But that was all the shita of the Rabbanan. What does Rabbi Shimon have to say? Rabbi Shimon suffered ki sota. Rabbi Shimon will say, no, I agree, it's just like sota, but the limud goes as follows. Ma sota b'rishus rabim tahar, hachanayim b'rishus rabim tahar. Just like by sota, it's a suffik tumah, and we're making it a rishus rabim, so too over here by the mikveh. Anything that went into this mikveh in between the last time we knew it was full and now that we know it's empty is a suffik, so Birshus Ram, we're going to say it's tar. So it says, Mari Mesota, Emeki Sota, Masota, Birshus Yachat, Tmea Vadai, Echanem Birshus Yachat, Tmea Vadai. So ask the Gemara the question Rashi promised us in Bezim and Bez. Oh, yeah, then why does Rabbi Shimon say that Birshus Yachat, it's Tolin? He should say Birshus Yachat, it's Tame Vadai, just like we say by Sota, that Birshus Yachat, it's Tame Vadai. So Hachi Ashley, you can't compare the two. Hasim Yeshra Glayim Ledavar, Shari Kinil of Anistra. The reason we assume Tame Vadai, Birshus Yachat, by Sota, is because there's what's called Raglayim Ledavar. Mesecha Sota, we always call go back to that phrase, raglayim ledavar, meaning all arrows are pointing in the direction of there being a problem over here with this woman's relationship with this man. What are all the arrows? That she obviously was behaving with this man in such a way that caused her husband to get jealous and say to her, please do not hang out with this man anymore. And then she went ahead and had yichud with the man. So all arrows are pointing in the direction of a problem. That's why we're going to be more machmir, min a safek rishos yachid by sota. Whereas over here, it's a legitimate safek with no arrows, it's not weighted in any way. We just don't know when the mikvah became chaser. So hacha, my raglayim ledavar yikah, over here there's no raglayim ledavar. V'yiba yisema, haynu time in Rabbi Shimon, or maybe the svar of Rabbi Shimon is as follows. Gomer sof tuma mitchilas tuma. We learn sof tuma from tchilas tuma as follows, meaning the following: mat tchilas tuma safek naga safek lo naga brishus rabim tahar av sof tuma safek taval safek lo taval brishus rabim tahar. Just like by tchilas tuma, if we're not sure whether tuma was contracted, whether it's a safek whether the tuma was ever contracted, so the halacha in a normal case of safek tuma brishus rabim is tahar. So to sof tuma, which is a safek tvila, our case of the mikvah, is what we call sof tuma, safek tvila, brishus rabim is going to be tahar. That's meaning this is going to be a different explanation of both Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan. Nothing to do with how to make the limud from sota per se. More about whether we granted the rule safek tuma brishus rabim is tahar. So now how do we apply that to a case where it's not a safek whether something became tamei, but it's a safek whether something became tahar. We know something was tameh, and then it went to the mikvah. So it's a suffix whether that mikvah was kosher, it's a suffix whether something became tahar. So Rabbi Shimon would say, same thing. What difference does it make whether it's a suffix whether something became tameh in the first place, or it's a suffix whether something that was tameh became tahar? Same thing, it's going to be tahar, brishus rabim. Rabbanan, the Rabbanan would say, no, hachi hashta, can't compare the two. Hasam gavar b'cheskas tarakai, misfeka lomachtinam le tuma. When it comes to a regular suffix tum brishus rabim, you're dealing with someone who had a previous cheskas tahara, and you're not sure if they touched something tamei or not. So then we could say safek tuma brishus rabim is tahar. But hacha gavra b'cheskas tuma kai misveka lo mafkinan le mitumaso. But over here we're dealing with something that we know was tamei, and it was a safek whether it went to the mikvah. So our chazaka is tuma. How are you going to say mi safek? Even brishus rabim mi safek. You're going to take away a cheskas tuma. So says Gemara, well, why is that so difficult? The Maishnami Mavoi, why should it be any different than a Mavoi? The Tanana Sharit Shinim says Mavoi, Mitamil Mafreya, Achiyomar Badaki, Samavoi Ezeh, Vlohayibo Sharit, Oat Shasakibud. If you find a Sharit in a Mavoi, we assume that the Sharit got to everything and was Mitame everything, Limafreya, until the last time the Mavoi was swept out where there was no Sharit found, or until the last time the Mavoi was checked out and there was no Sharit found. Then it is Mitame Limafreya. So Asamnami, Kibindika Shrotsim de Gufay, Vishrotsim Dasamyal, now that's also like a case of Tati L'Reisa. That is similar to the case of the Mikvah, to the case of the Chavis, where we're going to have problems with Mafreya, because since there are Shratzim that might come from this Mavui, and there are Shratzim that might come from outside of this Mavui, it's Ki'ilu, it's Tati L'Reisa. The Rashi and the Ritva write, it's not really Tati L'Reisa, because then it would be Tamei Vada L'Mafreya. And we only say that it's a Safek, Tamei L'Mafreya, but it's Ki'ilu, it's Tati L'Reisa. So it's like Tarti L'Reisa. At least according to the Rabbanu, it would be Tamei Vada L'Mafreya. So it's like it's Tarti L'Reisa. Fine. All of that was within the first explanation of Shammai. Shammai held a woman finds dam. She can assume she's only Tameya. Mikanu L'Abba. Henceforth, she's Tameya. Anything she touched previously is Torah. What was the Svara for Shammai? So the first answer the Gemara gave was because the woman has a Cheskas Tahara. Now we move on to answer number two of the explanation of Shammai. V'iba Yisema, Hainu time in the Shammai. The svara for Shammai is very simple. When a woman becomes a nidah, she has what's called a hargasha. And from the fact that this woman did not have a hargasha 5 hours ago or yesterday, we know that it must be that right now she's becoming tamea, and that she had not become tamea previously. Had she become tamea previously, she would have had a hargasha. Says Rashi, well then why didn't, if she's becoming tamea now, why didn't she have a hargasha right now? So he says, no, because the case is she finds the dam on an eid habaduk. She finds the dam on a bedikah cloth. So since she finds the dam on a bedikah cloth, She since she finds the dam in a bedikah cloth, we have a concern or we have a reasonable possibility that she did have hargasha, but she didn't sense the hargasha because the bedikah cloth was masking the hargasha. The insertion of the bedikah cloth, the activity in that area of her body, covered up the hargasha. But to assume that she had hargasha yesterday and forgot about it, or had hargasha hours ago and forgot about it, why would we ever make such an assumption? That's why Shammai says daya shaita. There was no previous hargasha. V'hillel, and Hillel would say, no, kisvura hargashas meraglayim hi. Maybe she did have hargasha yesterday when she was urinating, and the urination was masking the hargasha. Both of these points are very critical, halacha l'maisa. Both the fact that a bedika cloth and the fact that that urination can mask a hargasha are very critical halacha l'maisa. That's why when a woman inserts a bedik cloth and finds even the tiniest speck of red dam, of something that's definitely dam, even though it's less than the size of a penny, so it wouldn't be tameh mishum ksamim, it does make her a nida, because there's a chashash hargasha. And when there's hargasha, all you need is tipas dam kechardol. You don't need anything more than a tiny amount of blood, because that's what a bedikah cloth is able to do. Similarly, if a woman wipes immediately after urinating, mamish the second urination is over, so and she finds even the slightest amount of dam on toilet paper, which is not mekabel tumah, so she finds less than the size of a penny, and so on, so it's not mekabel tumah. You have all the clues of ksamim, but if it's right after urinating, so then there's a concern that there was a hargasha there, and the hargasha was masked by the meraglayim. So these are points that are halacha l'maisa. We'll come back to later in the Masechta. So frakta gemara l'shamai hikri sheina. Wait a second. How could Shammai be so sure that she wasn't tamei l'mafreya? Because after all, she didn't have hargasha. Didn't she sleep? Maybe she had hargasha in her sleep, and that's why she doesn't know about it. So yishen nami agav tzara mitara. No, hargasha is so powerful and impactful, it would have woken her up. So if she was having hargasha while she was sleeping, so she would have woken up from the impact of the hargasha. There is a machlokas, what exactly hargasha is. We discussed yesterday whether hargasha is dafka, that she feels the uterus opening, or she feels her body trembling, or even a zivas davalach. Does that count as a hargasha? So the Chasam Sofer quotes the Shita of the Shav Yaakov, that hargasha is called only when she feels her uterus opening. And the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer proves that hargasha needs to be that the feeling of the uterus opening, from the fact that Shammai says that a sleeping woman, if she has hargasha, she'd immediately wake up. It's mistaver that from the psichas hamakar, and not just from a little bit of a flow of something moist, that would wake her up. Mistaver, that would not wake her up if there's a little bit of dam flowing inside of her. Midadava, hargasha's meraglayim. Just like meraglayim could mask, hargasha's meraglayim would wake her up. Meaning, if a woman has to go to the bathroom, you wake up when you need to go to the bathroom. So says Gemara Vayika Shota, wait a second, how could you be so sure that every woman is only tamei min kanan laba? Because had she been tamei l'mafreya, she would have had hargasha. A shota doesn't even realize when she has hargasha, so she won't know about it. So moda shamei b'shota, shamei will be moda by a shota. She's tamei l'mafreya. Oh yeah, hakol anashim katani. If shamei is moda by a shota, why does it say all women are daya shaita? Kol anashim pikhos. It means all women that are normal. V'lisni nashim. So then why say kol anashim? Just say nashim. So the afuka mit Rabbi Lazar. Dam Rabbi Lazar abar nashim v'su lo. Kamash mulan kol anashim. This is to tell me not like Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar holds that it's very limited. We'll see later on. Dav Zayin. We'll see Rabbi Lazar holds it's very limited in terms of which women are dying shaitan. So he's expanding it to most normal women are dying shaitan. V'yikah k'samim. But wait a second. What about ksamim? The halacha is that we're choshesh to be metame based on ksamim. So how could Shammai say that I'm not worried because there was no hargasha yesterday? At least treat it like a kesem. So lema tanan ksamim to loka Shammai. The whole chumrah of ksamim must be against Shammai. Shammai must not hold to that. Amar Abayi moda Shammai b'ksamim. No, Shammai is moda by kesem. My taimu b'tzipa lo nisaska b'shuk shal tabachim lo avra hayda mehechasi. Meaning Shammai would say that if there's nothing to be tola a kesem on, a woman finds a stain and there's nothing that that stain could have come from. She was never dealing with blood of a tzipor. She didn't go to a butcher shop. There was nothing else that the stain could have come from. So then Shamei will be moda that kesem is going to be a problem. Okay, that was shita number two to explain Shamei. Shita number three to explain Shamei. V'yibay seima hainu time into Shamei demisa davadame yikara hava asi. If there was dam there previously, then we would have seen it. The fact that we didn't see the dam is a giant reisa on any sort of tumah. So the Hillel kolse b'sarachem emidu. Hillel would say there was dam there, but it was being held up in the vaginal wall, and that's why you didn't see it yet. The Shamei kolse b'sarachem lomuk midam. Shamei will say, since when does the vaginal wall hold back dam? Things flow out of that area all the time; they don't stay there. So mishameshes b'moch ma'ikel me'emar. Yeah, what would Shamei say if she was mishamesh b'moch? Moch is like some sort of sponge that she was used for birth control, that she would stick inside to draw out any of the shikva zera that was in her body. So that would certainly block any dam from falling out. Wouldn't Shamei agree? So Rabbi, Moda Shamei mishameshes b'moch. Yeah, Shamei would agree if she was mishameshes b'moch. Then she'd be tamei l'mafreya because any dam that was there might get stuck in the kosle beis harechem. It's not going to fall out. Rava Amar Moch Nami Agav Zeh Michvitz Kavitz. Rava would say no. Shammai would not agree by Mishameshes B'moch. Mishameshes B'moch. There is a partial blockage, but because of the sweat and whatever else in that area of the body, it would contract enough to allow dam to slip through. If dam didn't slip through, it's because there was no dam there. But Rava would say Shammai would be moda if it was a moch dachuk. Moch dachuk means it mamish covers the entire area in a way that that's completely compressed, and there's no way something can drip out of it. So what's the difference between the different Lashonos of Shammai? We had three different Lashonos of Shammai. First one was that the woman had Cheskas Tara. Number two was that she never had Aragasha before, and that's why she's Tara. And number three was, hey, Dam didn't come out, so that's why she's Tara. Dam didn't come out until now. So one Nafkamina would be, would you have any sort of question about Chavis and Mikvah, like we had on the whole Dav Bezom and Bez, which was only, and Mavoy, which we had on Gimel and Aleph, which is only a question on the first lashon, the heich lishni ikal lemirminu, the hanach lishni lekal lemirmi. But over here, where the second and third explanations of Shammai are unique to a woman, it's got nothing to do with chavis, nothing to do with the mikvah. It's all about hargasha. It's about dam. These things don't apply to those other cases. So there are no other mishnayos to bring into the picture. Umayka ben heich lishna heich lishna. What's another nafkamina? What are we adding by bringing these other lishonos? La baye ikamoch, la ravi ikamoch dachu. According to Abaye, with a moch, according to Rava, with a moch dachuk. So, meaning, but what's the difference between number two and number three? Between Shita of Shammai, second and third explanation of Shita of Shammai, is according to the second explanation of Shammai that she didn't have Aragasha previously, and therefore we can only assume Tumma. So, even in a situation where there was a moch or a moch dachuk there, we would only assume Tumma Mikan Laba, not Lemafreya. According to the third explanation, we'd even assume Tumma Mikan Laba when we would assume Tumma Lemafreya when there was a moch, according to Abaye, or a moch dachuk, according to Rava in there. Tanya ki ay lishna deemisa davadame yikar avasi. We have a brisa that supports this third lashon. That says exactly like this third lashon. Amlo hilo l'shamay yata moda b'kupash and shamshu b'taros b'zavah zuv and imsa sharis b'zavah zacheres shetaros harishonos t'meos. So Hillel says to Shammai, wait a second, don't you agree that if you have a box that you had taros in one corner of the box and you find a sheretz in another corner of the box, that the taros that you had taken out of that box are considered to be tamei, even though for all you know, after you remove the taros from the box, that's when the sheretz made its way in, but for all you know, the sheretz was there the whole time, and therefore we assume it's tamei. So don't you agree that there's such a concept of tumah l'mafreya, Shammai? So Amar lo, aval, Shammai says, I do. Uma hefresh bin zu l'zu. Why is it any different in the case of the woman? L'zu yesh l'shulayim, l'zu ein l'shulayim. The box has rims around the edge of the box that will prevent the sheretz from falling out. The woman doesn't have rims around her edges to prevent the dam from falling out. So if there was dam there, it would have come out. Period. Now we can move on to shita number four in explaining Shammai. Rava Amar Taimi de Shammai Mishum Bittel Piriya Verivya. Shammai says she's only Tamei Mikanu Laba because we're afraid that if we're Tamei or Mafreya, it's going to make husbands very nervous. They're always going to be worried that their wife is really Anida. Because what's going to happen? They're going to sleep with their wives, and then an hour later she'll find Dam and we'll say, oh, she's Tamei Mafreya. You slept with Anida. It's Nisar Kares. So men are not going to want to sleep with her. They're going to be very hesitant. From men are going to be very, very hesitant to sleep with their wives, and it's going to be a bittel peruvu. Tanya Amihachi, Amul Shammai Lehillel. We have this conversation recorded. Shammai says to Hillel that according to your Shita, Hillel and Cain, Pitalta Benos Yisrael, Mipuri Virivya. By being Mitami Rulam Afreya, you don't realize the repercussions it's going to have. People aren't going to have children. Umandatani Hai Lishna, Hatani Kihech Lishna. But what do you do with the Brisa that supported Lashon number 3, Demisa Davadame Kara Havasi, where it said Beferish that if there was Dam there, that the Svar of Shammai was, that if there was Dam there, why didn't we see it previously? So how can you say that it's a din of bittul per verivia? We have a beferish of brisa that it has nothing to do with per verivia. It has to do with the fact that if there was dam there, we would have seen it. So hasam hillel hu dekatai. Now Hillel made a mistake in terms of understanding Shammai's opinion. Who suffered time of the Shammai de misa davadame yikar avasi v'kamak shele kupa. Hillel thought that the svara of Shammai was like shita number 3. That's what Hillel thought Shammai's svara was. If there was dam there, we should have seen it, and that's why Hillel asked the question from the box where you find the sherets. And Shammai responds, no, I hold nothing to do with if there was dam, we would have seen it. My real sheet is based on bittul per virivya. And even according to what you thought I held, where you then ask on me from a kupa, I have an answer to that too. But I happen to not hold that way. But even if I did hold that way, I have an answer. That a kupa has shulayim and a woman doesn't. The shita that holds Lashon number 3, what's it going to do with the brisa that says explicitly that Shammai and Hillel had a discussion about bittul per verivya? So hachi kam le Hillel Shammai. Hillel says to Shammai, in taima ka'amrit, de'im isa da'avadam me'ikara hava asi. I agree with your logic, Hillel says to Shammai, that if there was dam, we should have seen it, and therefore she should be tamei l'mafreya. But you know what? Sometimes the Rabbanan have to take bigger concerns into account and make a siyag. So therefore, says Hillel to Shammai, I agree that she should only be tamei mikan l'haba. But why don't we make a siyag? Why don't we make a din to Rabbanan to be machmir that she should be tamei l'mafreya? So Amalei, Shammai says, I'll tell you why I don't make a siyag. So, meaning essentially, Shammai holds both shitas. The real reason that he holds Meikar and Dinmido, right, so she's not Tamei L'mafreya, is because if there was Dam, we would have seen it. Why did the Rabbanah never make a Chumrah over here? They make so many other Chumrahs because of Bittul Per Rivya. V'Hillel mi Per Rivya mi Kamina l'Taros hu d'Kamina. And Hillel says, well, I never would have said that she should be Tamei and Legabe Per Rivya. I'm just saying that Taros, meaning I would never say the husband needs Kapara for having slept with her before she found the dam. No, I don't think she was literally tamei. Just we should be machmir that taros that she dealt with are tamei. Veshamei, and Shammai would respond, "Letaros nami lo dimkein libo nokfo uporosh uporosh." Think about what that's going to say in the husband's mind, though. Shammai says, "Yeah, you're going to tell him, don't worry, you don't need kaparish, not tamei. But what about all those taros she was touching? Yeah, that stuff is all tamei. Why? Because she was a nida. Wait, if she was a nida, then when I slept with her, why wasn't she a nida? Don't worry about it. What do you mean, don't worry about it? It's very nerve wracking." And the husband's going to have in his mind that he's always going to be concerned his wife is Nida, and that's going to be a problem of Bittul Per Rivya. Okay, that's a good stopping point. We'll stop over there. Mr. Shem, tomorrow we'll continue from there on to Daf Dalet.